This is Drunk on Comics, episode 171, brought to you by Ink Whiskey. Comic books that feel like Saturday morning.
Yeah.
I, for one, am quite hungover.
You is too?
Yep.
Yeah.
He's too hungover to English.
I'm not. Jess took the kids this morning, so I gotta sleep in.
Oh.
My brain is actually functioning at like 95% efficiency.
That's
so
pretty awesome.
Wow.
It is very good.
I woke up at like 7:30 in the morning and wanted to die. And then I drank some water and a bunch of coffee, and then got breakfast, and I'm kind of back to functional now, so pretty excited.
I woke up when you kind of texted me of my door's locked.
It's super depressing, because that was 11:45.
Enough about our Pulaskian, which, by the way, people out there in the internets, it's...
I'm surprised how many people don't know what Pulaski.
It's kind of a Grand Rapids oriented thing.
And Chicago.
Yes.
Yeah.
Grand Rapids and Chicago, because you need a large enough Polish community and in such concentrations that they have their Polish drinking halls.
Yep.
Which you think about, it's a really cool idea. You get a little social club bar where beer is cheaper, and you get to kind of know everyone. It's kind of like Cheers, but like.
They're all Polish.
For Polish people.
Yeah.
Pulaski Weekend's awesome also because all the clubs open up to everybody as opposed to the people that have the membership and all the people that come down there. It's nuts and it helps them fund their club for the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Like Pulaski Weekend is their money-making weekend. So that 3-4 days is like 90% of their profits for the year and
so
just keeps them going.
If you're Polish and you're not in like Grand Rapids or Chicago, then you should come to Grand Rapids or Chicago, like the first weekend of October.
With that combined with Art Prize, downtown is hopping.
Oh, geez.
Right
so
now.
Good.
Yeah.
Except for trying to get a damn cab. That sucks.
Yeah. Uber,
yeah.
Man.
You can just walk.
Uber and surcharging like every 5 minutes, it sucks.
What?
Yeah. You don't Uber enough.
No.
I'll just call you if you're my Uber.
There you go.
All right, but getting on to what we do best, we are Drunk on Comics, and we will be reviewing some books. What do you guys got?
What?
Oh, don't all jump at
I
once.
I know, right? I was going to say, who's going first? Are we going to say who's here? No?
Well, I'm Matt.
We're going to make everybody guess?
Derek.
Lens.
Well, I figured by the course of saying, hey, Derek, what do you got to read? Hey, Matt, what do you got to read? Hey,
Lens,
what
Tony.
Do you got to read?
Shut
People
up, Tony.
Would know that our names are who we are, but it's not about who we are. It's about what we do.
Oh, that's very noble of you, I guess.
Yeah, trying. That's not.
With that, Tony, why don't you go first?
There you go.
Fuck that. No. Okay.
Such resistance.
Yeah. I am going to be talking about Justice League 44, The Dark Side War, Part 4. And actually, it's kind of cool that they have all those fours in it.
There's no 52 involved there?
Probably the new 52.
Okay.
Divided by 4 times 11 plus 21 equals 44. I don't know. Math's a little screwy there. Written by Geoff Johns, which is why this is so fucking amazing.
The writing in that book is phenomenal.
Art by Jason Fabok. Colors by Brad Anderson. Letter Rob Lee. Now, this is probably the most craziest fucking book I have ever read in a single issue format. I thought the last one was nuts when we get to see Batman first being on the bat chair. This takes it to a whole new level. I want to say that, like, as much as crazy, awesome storylines going in with Marvel right now with their Secret Wars, this is that on fucking, like, meth. Like, Secret Wars has more of a mystery behind it, more of we know who the bad guy is. This, we know who the bad guys are, too. It's the Anti-Monitor, and it's Darkseid. And then you have Justice League caught in the middle of which person do they support, which is the lesser two evils. You have all their henchmen. And not knowing half of these characters, I'm still drawn into, like, holy fuck, what was that? Or who was that? But the biggest ones that that shine in this are, especially this issue, are Hal Jordan with Batman, and then Lex with, well, we're going to call him Bat God, and then Nega Superman, because he's...
I love the art on Nega Superman also, yeah. Like black and white Superman. It really is like a Scott Pilgrim thing. It's awesome.
And that, and what happened in the last one was Lex was trying to help him power back up. So they're on the floating...
they're on Apocalypse, which yeah. There's no sunlight coming into there, so...
But he threw him into the arc reactors in the middle, and he got charged. But, of course, he got, like, evil energy or something, because Superman's now a dick, too. Like, Batman was always a dick, now Superman's a dick. And that's where, like, their little story arc is going awesome. I can't explain enough how real it seems. There's Superman who explaining with Lex of like, you know, you don't think that I'm a human if I don't have my powers. And he goes, I guess, you know, philosophically, yes, my DNA is different. But, you know, what makes me, you know, more powerful than you or less human than you? And then him going on about, you know, Lex, the only reason why you beat me before is because I was holding back. And, like, out of nowhere, they were teaming up. They were doing good. Superman just became an asshole.
So all he needed to do was kind of get over his ideology, and then he became, like, useful?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, but Lex is a good guy right now, so...
Well, Lex is always a good guy. He's about corporate America. He's about making the economy run.
He's Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Oh no.
But with better hair.
But let's get to the meat of the story here, which is Batman using the Mobius chair and, like, finding out and knowing everything. And he doesn't... The two things he... Because he can't know the future. As Hal was jokingly like, who's going to win...
The World Series? Yeah.
He goes, well, I can't see the future. I can see everything in the past and in the present, but not that. Except for who the Anti-Monitor is and where he's from. Now, I don't know if all this is, like, DC lore that has not been revealed before, but for me...
Or if it's new 52 lore that they're
retconning and whatever. But for me, I'm just, like, learning some of this now, where the Mobius chair came from. I've heard multiple times in Green Lantern series the life equation or the anti-life equation, and that plays an integral part in this whole story is sweet. But also... As they say, power corrupts, absolutely, and Batman kind of realizing being on this Mobius chair may not be the best for his health, but he's becoming a bigger dick than what he already was. Pretty much telling Hal Jordan, you have nothing, you're not a superhero.
The ring is the superhero.
Yeah, the ring is who's saving everyone. Your life kind of sucks. You don't have anything going for it. You failed relationships, failed work. And, like,
ouch.
It's truthful, but damn, like, Batman does not need to keep going on and on.
Thanks, Batman, you made your point. Yeah.
I thought they were about to brawl, too. But Batman being on this chair is probably the coolest thing. And I love that he's starting to, like, it's almost like the Ring of Power. It's like my precious, like, it's my chair. Well, it's the Mobius chair. You can still call it by its name.
It's the Bat chair.
Yeah. And then... Well,
this sounds like there's a lot of dialogue and words in this
there book. Was. This was... And I love it when there's more of that going... Like, the art in of itself, the splash pages, there was just some huge... just Melee's, seeing the gods in the background fighting with all the, you know, casualties there. Very crisp and sharp and colorful. And I'll get to a couple of those pages in a sec, but the writing in of itself really, you know... portrayed what's going on in some of these people's minds, especially at the end when Shazam goes crazy and starts saying kind of narrating what's kind of going on. I mean, I guess I kind of have to give away the ending of the book to kind of explain some of these things, but when the Anti-Monitor calls for, it was Darkseid who calls forth, and because you have these two Titans fighting, but when he calls forth the Black Rider.
Black Racer.
Yeah. I keep thinking, like, Big Bad Beetleborgs or what... Wasn't there the Masked Rider was, I think, one of those 90s shows?
Something
this like reminded that. Me of all of those, like, cartoons put into one. Like, out of nowhere, here comes the Gold Ranger, the new powerful thing. And this thing is just death on...
Skis.
Yeah. Never heard of this dude before, but it seemed like a big deal that they had to put him on its own page with the giant boom in behind. And I died laughing because I was like, who the fuck is this guy? All in all, when he gets super powered with the Flash and becomes the new death god,
He changes his name to Usain Bolt.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just amazingly awesome. And now that, like I said, throwing out there the anti-life equation and how that's always been a big thing and finding out who's got that and who wins this war, it's crazy. It's nuts. I want to read more of this. Don't ever let Batman lose the Mobius chair. Have him put it in the Batcave. He doesn't need to be on it all the time, but every now and then, have him just sit on it.
Every once in a while when he's curious and needs to solve a mystery. You
would probably read a whole comic book of Batman just talking from the chair, being an asshole. You wouldn't even have to have any action, just him sitting there saying things that happen.
Robin, you're pathetic and worthless.
Let me tell you why. Let me tell you every horrible mistake you've ever made in your entire life.
Remember the one time you stole money from me? Yeah, I remember that.
Remember that one time you didn't tell your parents you loved them and they fell in the circus?
Oh, no. Aww.
That's pretty much what he would do right now, though. Because he's such chair douchebag. And it's great.
All right.
Sweet.
Who's next? Else?
I'm last.
I'll go next.
Okay.
So this week I picked up Gem and the Holograms, the outrageous annual.
It looks like a My Little Pony cover.
Okay. Yes. A little bit.
Friendship is magic.
Well, you know, that's the great thing about this book is it's better than the cartoon was, but it totally reminds you of the cartoon. So this is kind of going off the main storyline that they have going on, but it's because it's an annual, it's its own standalone pretty much. Mm-hmm. So at the beginning, they're all sitting around the TV after a show and they're exhausted and they all fall asleep. And they each have these dreams, and each dream is like a little mini issue within the book. And the cool thing about this is, so each dream is based on, like, a movie we all know and love. Like, the first one is Teen Wolf. It's called Gem Wolf, where Jerrica, instead of turning into Gem, she turns into Gem Wolf. Plays basketball, all that good stuff.
Awesome.
The next one with Asia, Angry Asia, it's Beyond Thunder Rotunda. So it's totally Beyond the Thunderdome.
Yep. That's awesome.
Yep. Shanna's is Star Wars.
Nice.
Shanna Wars.
Nice.
Right? And then the last one, it's my favorite, Gem Babies. It's totally the Muppet Babies.
Awesome!
Yeah. There's even a point in here where, you remember in the Muppet, did you guys watch the Muppet Babies?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Their little caretaker nanny person, all you ever saw was the legs, right? So
didn't she always talk like Charlie Brown's teacher-ish? It was like a weird mumble.
I think so, yeah. There's a point in here where Synergy comes in because she's the nanny, and all you can see is like these striped leggings in the doorway. So this was super fun because it, you know, not only does Gem remind me of my childhood, but I'm pretty sure all of these movies/TV shows were probably about the same time as Gem was on TV, right? So each one. Each dream is like they're trying to deal with something in their personal life. So Gem's is obviously Jerrica's is, she's, you know, stuck between being Gem and being Jerrica and which one she likes more. Everybody likes Gem better than they like Jerrica. Everybody loves Teen Wolf more than they liked Michael J. Fox. So the Star Wars one I think was my personal favorite just because it was totally her in the swamp. And Synergy is Yoda. So she totally talks in Yoda speak the whole time. But it's Synergy, so it was just a weird dichotomy. And then, of course, the Muppet Babies one. In this one, so in the book, who's reading it? Tony, you're reading?
Yeah.
Nobody else is reading it, right?
No.
There's this love interest in between one of the girls from the Holograms and one of the girls from the Misfits. And she's torn on her hatred for the Misfits and her love for this girl crush that she has. And that's what this entire story was about, was like her trying to be friends and share a kitty with with her love interest. But she couldn't because she was part of the Misfits. So it was really weird because you're thinking about how these two people are totally in love with each other, but they're babies, so they kind of translated it into, like, a child relationship, yeah. which kind of weirded me out a little bit. but this was really fun. I think anybody, even if you're not reading Gem, even if you don't like Gem, even if you don't like hot pink comic books, if you know anything about any of these movies or TV shows, you would totally dig it. The art is different in each one.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah. Did you get different artists for each sequence?
Yep. So the whole thing is written still by Kelly Thompson, who's amazing. I love her work. But, so the first one is more of a, I don't even, like a traditional comic book style almost. And then you got your grittier art style on the Thunderdome ripoff. And then the Star Wars one, kind of more of a cleaner Saturday morning cartoon look. And then, of course, the Muppet Babies one looks totally like the Muppet Babies. They're so cute. The artists, I mean, there's a ton of them, so I can go through them real quick. But we got Ariel Jovellanos. She was on Gem Wolf. And then Rebecca Isaacs was on Angry Aja. Jen Bartal on Shanna Wars. And then on Gem Babies was
Agnes. Does it actually say those titles? Garbaska. Like, that's what the titles of those stories are? Gem, Gem Wolf, Gem Babies.
Yeah. Gem Wolf, Angry Aja, Shanna Wars, and Gem Babies. Yes.
Okay.
So, the one thing I want to say is I noticed something throughout this entire book, and I don't know if it's going to play into the series or not, but throughout the each dream, Synergy is sick. She keeps coughing and, like, sneezing. She's AI, so I don't know what that's going to play into.
She have a virus?
That's a possibility. So I don't know if that's going to play into it. It's very, like, nobody mentions it. It's just every once in a while she'll be talking, and then there'll be, like, a little cough bubble. See?
That's a lot of people dog on annuals as just like it's a way to get another comic book out there. But right. when it's done of like dealing with issues that do tie in, and if you decided to skip the annual, it'll still the series will still make sense. But if you decided to take the risk on it, you're get a great book with lots of fun additional characters, and it brings it to another depth. So that sounds like, and it looks pretty hefty too.
It is. It's a double. They call it a double sized issue. I don't know how much it was $7.99, so yeah.
Bit expensive.
You know what I'm really waiting for in the series is for them to just have the issue come out, but it comes with a CD.
Oh.
Because while reading them do, like, you know, like the music lyrics for some of these songs, and that's cute and everything, I still want to hear the rocking ballads that they did. Like, so much so that actually when Gem 1 first came out, I was like, am I just kind of remembering this wrong? Maybe the song sucked. Like, maybe I'm just, you know, kid nostalgia. So I YouTubed a bunch of songs. And I have to say, Misfits are fucking amazing. Yeah. I would go to a concert to watch them. Gem, I mean, they had more lovey-dovey songs. They were still
the
rocking,
heroes,
too.
The heroes are never as cool as...
No,
yeah,
it's
I guess.
True. It's true. I mean, the Misfits, they're all punk.
So, and just listening to that, I'm like, man, I wish I had this in a CD player. I'd rock it out on the way to work. So,
yeah, like, what are you listening to? Gem and the Misfits.
But yeah, no, that's it. It was cute. It tied into the main series without being part of the main series, possibly tying into the future series with Synergy. I don't know what's going to happen with that. I could just be overreading it, and maybe nothing happens. But I'd like to think I'm more astute than that. So. That's it for me.
Cool.
Next.
I guess I will go. I picked up From Under Mountains, number one, from Image this week. I picked it up on cover alone because I liked the soft watercolorness that was on it, and I thought that was awesome, and it looked like a new fantasy thing. And I wanted something new to read fantasy style, not knowing this was spun off from Eight House, which other Derek reviewed a few weeks ago. But this is its own like story just in the same world. Art and colors on this one were done by Sloan Leong, which I think are awesome. Story and script was Claire Gibson, cover and story by Marion Churchland, and letters by Ariana Mayer. I'd like to mention, all women. This is an all-women production.
Yay. You know, what I noticed there, too, is you actually had the artist listed first.
Yes, which is awesome. Page, and, and it makes sense in this book because the art kind of carries everything, the narrative, through it. The exposition in this is a little crazy. It kind of jumps back and forth because they're introducing new characters. Seems very political, intriguey, like kind of Game of Thrones, but not the same in that way.
It's hard to get that amount of depth.
Yeah, there's not that amount of depth, but I mean, like, I really like the color and the pencil lines in this book. I just think, just following, you could just look at pictures alone and it tells a story, which is awesome. Yeah, it's kind of tying into three different people and from different houses, and that's where the political stuff comes in. Looks like everyone's kind of vying for power in the world of Karsgard, and I'm kind of interested to see where this goes, because it really was just kind of a setup issue, but I think they have a lot here that they can go with. So I would say pick this up. It is pretty cool.
The panel layout in that is really interesting.
Yeah.
It's not at all repeating.
It's no, different each it's page. Different everywhere. And it even, like the other Eight House one, just starts on opening cover and goes all the way to...
Ooh, there's a map.
There is a map.
I was just going to say, I saw a map.
That helps, because they kind of name stuff off in the world of Karsgard and don't really tell you where it is.
Nice.
So the map in the back, on the back cover, does help quite a bit.
I love maps.
Maps, me too.
Maps are my favorite part of books sometimes.
What's that at the end?
They have some of the sketch stuff for like early layouts and early costume designs, because that... I mean, the outfits that everyone's wearing in this book really kind of differentiate from where they are from.
Okay.
They have, like, the royals and then, like, the thief and all from different areas. And I'm sure that's all going to tie in at some point. But
gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, it's also good for, like you said, if the visuals are telling the story, you want that quick recognition, that costume.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, it sounds like they're trying to build, like, a whole gigantic world.
Yep, based off of this world and the other comics. Yep. And I'm sure this works as a standalone, but I'm sure at some point they could tie all of them together, because it seems like they have a lot of world here to work with.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. The gaming platform you'd use this to play D&D with, right?
We could use this world as a D&D
world. We now have a map.
Yeah. Right, there you go.
That's all we need, guys. So
it's not gridded out, though.
We'll put it in hexagons so we know our travel distance per day.
There we go.
God, that is so tedious to calculate. I just skip that stuff. Well, last but not least, finally, after 12 centuries, I think.
It's been a while.
The Sandman Overture number 6 has finally come out and wraps up the story. At the end of the number 5, we were very doubtful that they could wrap this.
Yeah, there was no way with everything going on that they could wrap this up. But
Neil Gaiman's the man.
It's a pretty chunky book, though.
It is pretty chunky. What's really nice about it is all the ads are in the back, so DC still gets to run all their ads, but they're in the back of the book.
Nice.
So that you actually get to read through the whole thing. Because, it is a work of art. J.H. Williams III's his... You can't go wrong with this combo, and each page, there's these scattered pages with so many different characters on it that you just want to look at all of them, and sometimes you're like, is that character kind of a nudge to the bigger DC universe that, you know, Vertigo's quasi part of, or not? Because there was one character down here that looks a lot like Brainiac a little bit, or one version of Brainiac, where he's the robot with the tentacles and the giant green brain. There's another one that I'm like, hey, that looks a lot like Ben Grimm, the Thing.
They're going all over the place.
Yeah, up there, so.
It does.
So, but, I mean, it also could be it's just a rock monster. And
right.
That's, you know, how else do you draw rock monsters? But it doesn't matter, because there's just so much to look at. And then
looks a lot better than the Thing on the Fantastic Four movie.
It actually looks like rocks instead of turds.
Oh.
So, but then the other thing, too, is just the... the type of the page layouts. I mean, nothing is traditional. Everything is kind of bending and moving into one.
Like a dream.
Like, very much like a dream.
Okay. That's the it's a little surreal on all the books so far, just like some of the blending in and trying to follow the word. Like, there's the one when we talked about it, and I think we've reviewed every single one of these books because... Well, they come
so
out
good.
So far apart, too.
Yeah.
But, like, where, like, you have to turn the whole, like...
You have to
around.
Spin the page as it goes. This one actually has lines connecting the dialogue.
Which is good, because if it didn't...
So you would know which one to read next.
But there's even, like, one of the pages where it's towards the end when it's doing the incantation to call him forth. And, like, that's swirling around. But it's painted in the background. So it's not true, like, words someone's speaking. But, like, it's... So, kind of just in there.
So those familiar with the Sandman series, it starts with Morpheus being captured by the magician and his cult. And I didn't actually have time to go back and check, but I'm pretty sure word for word, that's the incantation spell that they use. And it's just, it's drawn into it. And you can, and he keeps talking about he just wants to go home. But you can just see these words of the spell like following him kind of ghostly. And he's like, no, I just want to go home, but it's calling me. I'm too weak from what just happened. And so it totally, it explained what was supposed to be explained. Why was Morpheus able to be captured by the magician? And this story brings it back full circle there, yeah, which
he
is...
He saved the, single-handedly, well, no, not single-handedly, had help, but two people saved the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it, too, because they used, well, as they said, it was their father's gem,
yep,
the time gem, to go back in time. And how...
A little bit of time travel involved.
And how it was not the first time that she's tried to do it.
She tried three times to help him, yeah, but we're not, I don't want to give away too many of the spoilers.
Yeah, because it's just an amazing...
Yeah, but that the idea that it does follow back into where Sandman picks up was one of the promises for the book, and so I can agree with that. But man, it's just it's good, and obviously if you were interested in the first place, you're going to go pick it up. And if you weren't, now that all six are out, it'll be coming in a graphic novel form. Right. You can put that on the shelf with the rest of your graphic novel
that'll
collection.
Be coming out in 3 years,
yeah, yeah. The rest of the graphic novel collection. But one page that I did want to point out was the fact that in an industry where every page is, it's very precious, the amount of space that you have in a comic book, they have a splash page of essentially darkness where it is, there's a single line as if the universe is flatlined and it is just black and blank. And I kind of turned to that page and I went, well, there was some ad reality there that got picked up.
Right.
But that's the power of Gaiman as a writer to say, this is what
he's
it
like
needs.
The anti-Hickman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of a white page.
Instead of a white page. But this is exactly what it needs, and I got that. And it was like, I think it was actually, no, it wasn't exactly the center of the comic, but I was kind of like,
right,
that's that fold. It would be great if it was a fold-out.
And it was just
exponentially
more black. Bigger. Yeah.
Just more black.
So did those two pages make the story better?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it does quite a bit. I will say, seeing Morpheus naked, stark naked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there are some spots where it's...
There's a little bit of like, hey, I'm you know, artistically covering myself up, but you know, things dangle out. but no, it did, that black page totally makes it worth it for
okay.
the story. And that's where I really feel like this is a work of art.
Right.
It is a beautiful story. It is with the characters that we, most of us, have read and loved. And then...
yeah, he's dangling out there in a couple other yeah. pages.
But but other than that...
I want to know, though, so here's the thing. With as much as I love Sandman and it just being a work of art, and I love that in the beginning we got to meet new Morpheus
mm-hmm.
for a brief bit, recounting some things, because with time and everything, doing whatever, you can kind of have that within the story. Who the fuck was that other person?
What other person?
That person that he was talking to at the end that looked like, you know, Colonel Mustard.
Oh, Glory?
Yeah.
They called him Glory.
Yeah.
He came up, I think he came up, I don't know where he came up. I think he was one of the stars type
was
deal.
Was he? Because it seems like he's almost like a little bit more powerful than... No,
it's just that they said you're weakened in this part of creation. You're not supposed to be in this part of creation. So,
but I want to know who, like, that there's other, like, kind of gods that are of abstracts, like
mm-hmm.
they are,
mm-hmm.
who those people are.
Yeah.
Like, is there more than that? Like, we obviously know his mother and father now, which was a great part of the storytelling. Mm-hmm. It was getting to know where they came from and whatever.
Time and darkness being his parents.
And all that.
Other
and,
parents of all the endness.
Yeah.
Endness, really.
Well, all of everything.
Yeah.
But, like, are there other pantheons?
I don't know. But I like the idea that finding out what things they have domain over. And they talk about how destiny, he just exists with whatever is real. That he just deals with reality. And death can only accept what is acceptable and not acceptable. But dream... can basically shape reality. And the whole idea that there was just one issue of Sandman about cats and how cats used to rule the world until the human beings got enough human beings to dream that it was different, that it was human beings that ran the world. And dream reshaped reality
huh.
to match their dream. That plays a big part in how this all gets played out, hence the reason that the Morpheus cat version of himself has been a big character in this all along. But that the idea that dreams can shape reality, and then you go like, oh, yeah, one idea can change the world. It's pretty cool, man.
I don't know if I'm more sad, like, like, the spacing and everything of, like, waiting for issues. Mm-hmm. But I think, like, I want to say that I'm super happy that it's done, but I'm sad that it's done. I want there to be more.
Well, Sandman. Well, you might not get more Sandman, but you can get more Lucifer soon.
Yeah, and that kind of goes into... It's not really a review. It's a preview review. Like, anyone, if you go to your comic book shop, can pick this up. For so free. Everyone should really do it, just to kind of check out some new books coming from Vertigo. And this has their 12 new ones that starting, actually, this month in October, each week they're going to be debuting a new book. And these are going to be ongoing. Well, most of them are ongoing series. I think a couple of them were small, like, you know, one-shots or whatever, to see where it's going. And a couple of them, like, within this, had either just the generic preview...
description of...
Yeah, title page, like most people have seen. But some of this had some actual artwork, some previewing of that. So we're going to mainly kind of talk about just a few of those. However, Red Thorn just seems freaking amazing. Like, this demigod, you know, being...
Named Thorn.
Yeah, being imprisoned and then waking up in nowadays and finding out, you know, the gods are all kind of dead or gone, but their descendants are still there.
I think that'll be pretty big in the UK. Just saying.
Well, I think it'll be big. Like, I wanted to see more previews of that one. Art Ops, like, seems kind of zany when you think about it, but going on to the whole art can come alive and there's a secret task force of people that go hunting, like...
Like Vigo paintings can come alive and...
Yeah, and be there. So, having, like, one of, like, the little Mona Lisa's, like, in witness protection to help save her, because she escaped from her painting.
That's why she's in the Louvre.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, that was cool, but, I mean, there's one in particular that you already mentioned that I guess we can talk about now, and that would be Lucifer.
Yes, just in time for the terrible TV show to ruin his image. We're getting a new version of Lucifer. Story is by Holly Black, and art is going to be by Lee Garbett.
Okay.
The little preview pages gives you a little synopsis about it. Is apparently Lucifer is being framed for God's murder, or I should say Gabriel is accusing Lucifer of killing God. And I can't remember, at the end of Lucifer, God just quit, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah, he didn't die, he just quit. So my thought is, I wonder if it's the new girl that took over as God that gets killed, and that's the problem, or if it is the God that ran away and said, I'm kind of done. Either way, Gabriel is telling him that, I can help you find whoever it is, that if he does that, then all of his sins will be forgiven. Past and present. He could go back to Silver City.
Right when I see that, the first thing I'm thinking of is, now I'm forgetting the Dogma.
Oh, yeah.
You can go through the church and you can get back up there, so.
But I know that specifically ties in. Isn't that, like, the premise of the show, is that if Lucifer finds out, solves his crime
The show one, it was, I think it is, not God is dead. I don't think it's about the show. I think that just more or less there's some demons coming after him, but he couldn't know it. It's a buddy cop drama I'll say this for this book, and I've also had to do it with other. I want to say it's an Elseworld. It's not the Lucifer that that story came to an end. I would love it to continue from it.
This is supposed to be a continuation from that last series, though, because he's Lucifer, and he somehow comes back with these wounds that won't heal. And so something happened when he was traveling the void of space. So I believe this is supposed to be a direct...
Okay, well
Because he makes a new nightclub called X-Lux instead of Lux.
From Lux.
Yeah. So...
Okay, well then, I'm looking forward to the series then still, even though it will be a little bit different from what he was. Because it looks like even in this too, he's a little more... You know, lady killer when...
They do say, like, when he came to town, everyone feared him and loved him. And I was like, really? They had to love him?
Yeah, because, like, he was never that. He was always just...
He was about himself.
Yeah.
Very prideful.
Yeah. The TV show No.
We will eviscerate the TV show once it comes out.
Yeah, once you actually can watch the first two episodes before it's canceled.
That's it will make Fantastic Four look great.
I don't know.
That's going to be tough.
I hope Tony Drunk tweets it.
Another quick talk about, it's going to be a four-issue series, The Twilight Children. And this one, it did remind me of like a Saturday morning cartoon. Just kind of the way that the drawing is and kind of the little, like, there was a mystery behind it, like not so much Scooby-Doo, but, you know, this takes place in a place where some girl washes up on shore through this orb, and how these kids find, you know, this orb, and they're like, don't touch it. Now, I say kid-wise as in the drawing, but it's also got some depth. Like, in the few pages that they have previewed here, and actually in the preview synopsis about the girl who has her husband, but then there's also her boyfriend and then her lover as well. And you see her just sitting out in the front talking to some dude, and then they talk about hooking up later. Goes right inside to the shop, and the guy goes, "How's my favorite wife?" Like, wow, like that's kind of... It takes you out of the drawing of, like I said, more cartoonish to, that's some adult shit right there. And I don't know. It seems like it's going to be a good one.
The last one, though, is...
Besides Lucifer, I'm really looking forward to Unfollow.
Yes.
The art just looks amazing. Written by Rob Williams. Art by Mike Dowling. It's... What were you guys saying? It was, what, Battle Royale?
Yeah, Battle Royale. And, like social media.
And the deadliest game where, like, you know, people are going off to kill each other.
Yeah, having a billionaire.
This billionaire has got a fortune. He's going to give it away to all the people on this list. There's 140 people because you can only have 140 characters.
Oh.
And so who's ever still alive on the list when this billionaire kicks the bucket will get all of his money. So there are people on the list who are trying to kill other people so they get more money.
Right.
And then there's some people who are just like, I just want to live. I just want to survive. So,
That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, already in this page, it pretty much sets tone of, like, all right, there's people that are just hunting people down. I'm sure there's going to be alliances, there's going to be this and that. But I'm like, also, I'm personally setting myself up for, is this a con on this guy? Like, is this guy hunting people too? Or is this all about to see? Because it seemed like he was talking about in the, how the, it was, the, structure
people's
was set
human
up.
Natures,
yeah. It was showing, yeah, of, like, tweets also about, like, why he's doing this, or some of the people talking about, you know, I'm on the list, or I'm looking for this. So it seems like there's going to be a little bit more of, like, exposition through tweets of, like, what's going on. And I'm wondering if he, like I said, he's somehow got a... I don't think he's got a devious thing, but he's got to be part of this game, or he's not really dying.
I really think that this is probably a big ploy from Google to show us all, this is how they're going to be our benevolent overlords. This is the robots talking. See, humanity needs us to install order. But so no, it's going to be some good stuff from Vertigo.
Yeah,
for sure.
Really, there's some other ones that look scary.
Yeah,
you know, like,
the clean room, I thought sounded interesting.
There's baboons with spiders. Yeah. I don't know why there's baboons with
because
spiders.
Because the clean room, it hermetically seals you in, and it takes all your, like, deepest thoughts and dreams and uses them against you.
Yeah, to get information. So
somebody is afraid of
that. Very, what was it, Room 101 or whatever in
1984?
Oh, yeah.
Creepy. Yep. Yeah. put your head to a bunch of mice.
Oh.
Fear factor.
I was going to say that's... It's fear factor. You had to eat some cow anus or something. Yeah.
Actually, Joe Rogan.
I always thought that on those shows, that's the thing I couldn't do.
Eat stuff. I would throw up instantly.
Yeah. I don't think I could eat like one of those giant hissing cockroaches or something that always just...
I'm going to throw up.
Well,
now.
I mean, here's the thing. I cannot do that, and I would not do that. But when you put a lot of money on the line, I may be able to just close my eyes, plug my nose.
But it's going to move.
See, but the problem is that it's not enough for you just to eat it. You have to, like, eat it without vomiting and stuff. And biologically, you might not have a choice in that.
Right.
Your body might just...
I'm about to throw up right now, so we're gonna move on.
Tony's about to throw up, too, but that's for other reasons.
It's a shame we don't have cameras in here.
No, it's not a shame.
No.
But, yes.
People don't want to see my lovely face.
I know, they just follow
or what you do in here when we're not here.
Oh, God.
I'm looking at your girlfriend in the corner here.
Tricks out Trixie with the Pabst Blue Ribbon shirt.
So Tony has his blow-up doll that he was using for a bachelor party, but it happens to be still sitting in his corner.
It's staring at me.
Yes. Like a corner of shame.
That makes it sound so bad. I want to edit that out because...
Nope. It's in there. If you edit that out, I'm going to come over here and slap you right in the face with your blow-up doll.
At least she's clothed.
That's true.
She does have a PBR. Yeah,
and I appreciate that you kept her in true Whiskey Tango fashion with the Pabst Blue Ribbon shirt. Yeah.
Well, speaking of girls, DC has new superhero girl show coming out.
Oh, that is a weird transition.
You know
what? Oh, no, we can't. No, we can't talk about this anymore. We soiled it.
New topic.
I first saw this ad, and the first thing I thought is, how bad is DC for in need of superhero females that most of the characters on there are female villains? But then reading more about it, they talk about trying to have a girl that any girl can identify with. So they have lots of different girls, even villains and bad girls, to, you know, kind of say there's lots of different characters. So,
and this is so it's DCSuperheroGirls.com. It's a website. And then the show that they're making is a web series. So it's not going to be on TV or anything. And they're short. So they're definitely focused more towards a much younger crowd. So the villains in this probably aren't going to be extremely super villainous. Villainy. They're probably going to be like they stole their mom's wallet or pulled some girl's hair at school or
something
like that.
Might get a little catty, little mean girls.
Yeah. But I think it's cute. When I found out about it, I sent the link to all of my friends who have, you know, young children who are girls, because there's not a lot of stuff. I mean, there's a lot of stuff now for girls in comics. There's not a lot of stuff for young girls in comics. That especially isn't, like, super cheesy. Yeah. So I'm excited about this. I'm probably going to watch it even though I'm not 8.
It's good they know where their target audience is, too. Because, like, kids love watching stuff online these days.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
I feel like such an old man now. Like, my cousins will watch people play video games on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what
the hell?
Just play video games.
Derek turned into old Derek.
I don't know what happened. Like, overnight, like, my cousin's like, I was watching this person play Minecraft for 3 hours. I was like, then play fucking Minecraft for 3 hours.
I totally get it, because I'm going to just go off on a tangent here. My child does the same thing, and he sits there, and he's laughing at this person who's just sitting there playing a game, screaming. I don't know what they're saying. They're just yelling at the camera, and he's, like, fucking falling off of his chair laughing. And he's like, do you want to watch this with me, Mom? I'm like, absolutely not. No.
At what point did we get old? Like, I was in the bar last night for Pulaski, and he's talking about insurance.
Well, I think this is more about you.
Get the shit out of 30-year-old Derek. That's depressing.
I think that's true with anyone, though. Yeah. All right. So anyway, moving on. What do we got next, guys?
Well, Marvel's got a new series in development called Damage Control. Much like them trying to diversify the types of shows and the audiences that they will attract, Damage Control will be a comedy.
Yes.
Much like most of the comics that have come out under that title.
It's for people that aren't in the know. They've had, I think, 3 or 4 separate, like, little mini series of Damage Control, and that's what you could look them up online. I've hunted down at many conventions to get them. They are a little bit rare, but they're not worth, you know, all that much.
They didn't print them, very much, because they're kind of an offshoot.
This is the group that fixes after, you know, buildings blow up, and, like, whenever there's a superhero battle in New York, they're the ones that come in and fix it. And they, it's been a while since I've read them. I do remember that they think they have powers of them their own.
Sometimes, they've got,
like, almost like the Wrecking Crew, like, where one is, like, a genius and architect, one is a strong man and can, like, lift things. But besides even that, it's funny when any of these movies happen and you kind of like, who does fix that stuff?
Well, that was a big point in the aftermath of Civil War when Nitro blew up things. Wolverine started hunting down who Nitro was working for and stuff, and he pins it back to essentially a corporation that had Damage Control as, like, part of their conglomerate, and saying that, you know, the insurance business and the cleanup crew is a multi-billion dollar industry. And I thought of it, I was like, how freaking smart is that? Yeah. Like, yeah.
Powerless. You know, DC's got a TV series comedy coming out for mm-hmm. Powerless, so I don't know if maybe
they're always trying to compete with each other.
To jump on that bandwagon too, so they could be fair, but I think this will be fun.
They've also made like the Damage Control a talking point in like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Avengers.
Yep.
Like Sokovia, yeah. New York being yeah. destroyed by the Chitauri.
Yeah, they just bring it up a little bit. Oh, yeah, and Damage Control's going to come.
It's like they're
yeah.
slowly but surely yeah. setting themselves up for this show throughout all their other sources.
Probably.
I'll say another little tangent, though. Did anyone watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this week?
I did.
It was awesome.
It was really good.
It's very good. I love that they got a bigger budget. I like the characters. I was most impressed with the fact that they have a homosexual character. And how they brought it up was, like, in passing, like, oh, we know all about you. Like, we know you didn't get healthy until you met your last boyfriend.
Right.
And this and this. And then they get back to him. And then later on, him talking about being an Inhuman, he's like, hey, I know what it's like to live with a secret, and it can eat you up on the inside. But that was it. It wasn't a, like, hey, look at us. We've got these big rainbow flags. Look, right. We have a gay character. We're full of diversity.
Right.
It was, like, normalized. Yeah. It was, and I was kind of like, good for them. Thank yeah. you. Because I don't, you know... It's a story about superheroes, but I like that there's diversity in these superheroes.
Yes.
So it was really cool, and I really love where it's going this season. So
it's so far, so good.
Plus, Lash well, looks awesome.
Yeah, yeah, Lash does look awesome.
Since you brought up that, anyone check out Heroes Reborn?
I did.
Cause that
I'm the only one here with no life apparently.
I didn't, and I can't. I don't think I can get behind Zachary Levi being a bad guy after Chuck, but. Maybe I have to watch it. Yeah, I don't know.
So it was last night at the bar when someone mentioned that he was, I was like, that's where I've seen him before. Like, it took me forever, and I don't know why. I just wasn't pinpointing when I was watching the show where he is from. But, no, it is awesome. It has renewed that franchise. When you have these type of shows, whether it's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., whether it's The Flash, like, at least Flash and everything, they have, like, comic book superheroes that already have their powers, but when you're making up your own, or even in comic books, there's only so much before you keep rehashing, this person can fly, this person is strong, like, how do you just come up with new superpowers that no one has thought of before? And one of them that they did on the new Heroes Reborn, I'm just happy about, and I'm going on a little tangent, is this chick who can, with the sword, with Hero's sword, can warp into, like,
video game, yeah. essentially.
Like a World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
But then when you find out when she's in it, because she's going to find her father, which is a bit of the mystery behind, you know, they've left some things up in the air of, like, the incident that blew up, and now they know that there's metahumans, or evos, as they call them. But this chick's power, when she puts the sword back in, she's in the real world, as if, like, it's a live virtual world where she's going through. I don't know. I'm like, that's a unique kind of...
It was very interesting, yeah.
Cool new superpower. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the kid that can teleport people. And very compelling. I'm happy.
I have to admit, I have not actually watched the first series of Heroes.
First season was amazing, and then it was and then it got good again, and then I lost interest. But I didn't mind it. I thought it was really good.
I will catch up with it after I finish.
The writer's strike kind of killed...
It did. Yeah. That was...
It's momentum. Mm-hmm. But, you can't really... Yeah. It messed up a lot of TV shows.
So. Yes, it did.
Yeah. Speaking of TV shows, so apparently Zack Snyder has met with HBO. They're in talks to do a Watchmen TV series. And you guys were talking about this a little bit earlier and how you don't know how this is going to happen. So let's expand on that a little bit.
I'm sure they could do stuff with the universe or go back to, like, the original.
That's
group.
What I think.
That's yeah. all I can really think of because, I mean, the movie, we were discussing that the movie really did a great job, even though it wasn't exactly like the comic, which really upset people. But it was great for how they did it in the movie.
Yeah, I mean, the ending is what I know a lot of people got upset with, but I think that it took out a bunch of the exposition stuff about squids going missing and these scientists and stuff, and they had to streamline it because it was in a movie. But I think that'll be an interesting, but, you know, being on HBO, you can do a little bit more of that long-form narrative, and they did come out with a ton of additional material for Watchmen. Mm-hmm. And so maybe they can draw on some of those comics and fill in some of the other gaps.
And it's good being on HBO because Watchmen definitely is not the most family-friendly.
You can't have giant blue penises on network television.
Are we living in America or Soviet Russia?
Forever scarred seeing that movie in IMAX.
But yeah, like you guys said, I would love to see more Watchmen, but do we need to? Is it the movie we need?
Like, are they just going to rehash the movie? Are they going to do it after, before?
It's the movie we need.
Oh, man.
Speaking of kind of movies that are Transformers 5 will be coming out in 2017.
Is Michael Bay directing it?
As well as Transformers 6, 7, and 8. They haven't planned out that far in advance.
Ah, shit.
President of Hasbro mentioned that, you know, Hasbro, Paramount, and Michael Bay and other partners are teaming up to have more. Hopefully he gets out of
the... Are we going to get into the Beast Wars soon? Because I feel like it's about time to transition over to Beast Wars.
True. I love Beast Wars. Oh,
Beast Wars
God.
And then Beast Machines?
If they could just totally wipe clean what they've done now and then start over with the Beast Wars ones, which I wasn't a fan of at first, because I'm like, they're not trucks, but then I'm like, this is some deep shit. Like the lore of the Beast Machines then and how things went down with that.
Time travel.
Well, it's also saying there's an animated origin Transformers feature also in development, so that could be cool. It's still one of those things of where I didn't like the Transformers movies, but if you take out any context of like memory and love and childhood, it was awesome watching shit blow up.
Saying, if you have a whole lot of liquor and just nothing to do on a Friday night.
But besides that, I mean, so they were good movies in the way of they were a Michael Bay movie. Things blew up. Just, they shouldn't have done it. They at least were better than Ninja Turtles, so...
A few weekends ago, I watched both Ninja Turtles and Transformers Age of Extinction, like, back-to-back, and just watched Michael Bay curb-stomp my childhood. And, like, the Transformers one, Ninja Turtles was terrible. No one is ever going to argue that that was a good movie by any means.
But, I still haven't seen it.
Like, Transformers is, I guess, watchable, but where they're going with that, I mean, Marky Mark and Optimus going to space. Apparently Unicron's going to be in the new one, which is kind of cool. Yeah. But
they already have Galvatron because...
They did have Galvatron. It's like the 1984 Transformers movie without Optimus dying right away and making me cry.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that pissed off so many people.
Rodimus Prime ruined my life.
All right. One last quick thing I want to mention here. Chip Zdarsky is a pretty outstanding human being. He was awarded the Harvey Award for the book Sex Criminals, but he turned it down because Matt Fraction wasn't involved. And he's like, this is our book. Like, why am I getting the award, but Matt doesn't? And when he was first told about the nomination, he even wrote them saying, hey, I would rather be pulled off this, you know, award. And then when he found out that he won, he kind of like said, I don't want to take this. It should, or he's also trying to get the Harvey Awards to change their process for the thing for humor to where it's the team. Both people make the book, and I think that's 100% noble as well. Like, yeah, both. If you're doing one for just story, if you're doing one for just art, but if you're doing one for best humor book or best action book or best drama book, the book consists of two parts.
Yeah,
you got to get the whole team in there. It's not just his writing that makes the book funny.
Yeah, the art is also hilarious in Sex Criminals.
I was going to say, and it's also a thing, though, too, if it's a series where you've changed up the artist a whole lot of time, but the writer has continued through, then you can make an argument that, you know,
it's the writer.
It's the writer.
Yeah.
But I totally agree that, and maybe what they should just do is let them, like, write in how they want it nominated for, right? You know,
right?
But you know, when you list one person as a writer and then one person as an artist, even though there is all that collaboration that happens between them, I think I see where the disconnect happens.
I really what you were saying too, how you love that the picture cover of them just sitting there. Like, I would love to see him like with a chisel or something, write in Matt Fraction's name on the award, and that be, like, on the front of one of the covers. Like, look at this, we won an award. Like, just to be funny about it.
He gets his label maker out.
All right, well, we got to wrap up news. So, do you have booze in the book, Linz? Throw you on the spot.
I do. I do have booze in a book, you guys. So this week I picked up Zodiac Star Force, number 2 from Dark Horse. My guess is none of you guys have heard of this at all, probably. It's kind of a chick book. So I'm not going to get into the story a whole lot, but essentially it's...
Is this like a Sailor Moon?
A little bit, yeah. It reminded me of like a lot of like a Saturday morning cartoon show. So like, I don't know if you guys ever watched Holy Spies or even like Gem or anything like that. It's that sort of like, these girls were picked by this entity to inhabit the Zodiac Star Force. So they all have powers of like, they're all Aries and Gemini and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
Does they... Alpha 5 show up? Ay, 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 ay.
Oh my God.
You need to be smacked.
I am. So, you know, they come together, they save the world. This is, they've broken up, and then something happened, and this is where the comic book starts, is they thought they banished all these dark shadow creatures to this other world, and they start showing up again, so now they have to decide whether they want to get back together or not. Again, I'm not really going to go into the story a whole lot, but the art is great. It's got that really super poppy, bright, cartoony art to it, which, again, makes me feel like I'm kind of reading a cartoon. Even in the beginning, it's got that previously, you know, like on old cartoons. So anyway, I am with rum chata, and you can do it straight, you can do it with your choice of booze, because I don't know about you guys, but when I drink rum chata, I kind of want to drink it out of a cereal bowl, because it tastes like I'm drinking the milk. It's Saturday morning cereal.
Okay.
So
when I drink rum chata, I like to mix it with Fireball, because then it tastes like Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and right? It's a breakfast shot.
Right? You could look it up. There's a whole list of breakfast shots. There are a lot.
Pretty much that's what it was created for, was make it taste like cereal.
I saw on their website, they have shot glasses that are cereal bowls that you can buy now.
That's awesome. Yeah.
they know their niche market.
They do. So, yes, Zodiac Star Force, rum chata, add whatever you want to it.
For when pretend you have to drink in the morning, it'd be socially acceptable.
Yes, pretend it's Saturday morning and you're a kid again, except now you're drunk.
Hair of the dog that bit you, man.
No. I may actually just pour a bowl, like, full of cereal and put rum chata in and just...
They have... That's the picture they have.
Get some boozios.
Yeah.
It's Cinnamon Toast Crunch with rum chata on it.
That would be so good. Oh, my gosh.
You guys got any last calls before we wrap up?
I do. Everyone's looking at me like I'm the only one who picked up
one book.
You have
a pile of books over here.
So I got X-Men 92. This is the last one before they start the actual series that they're doing, and I'm very excited about it. Exactly. So good. Fall of Harbinger from the Book of Death.
Book of Death.
Yes. And then Captain America, White, number 2. That's what I got this week.
Yay!
All right. I also had, besides a few of those, Ghostbusters Get Real.
You jerk. That's what...
that's the only other thing that you've read?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Other than Shattered Empire,
which you
already said.
That's why you should have went next.
I guess so.
Transformers also came out, and still loving that. Actually, afterwards, I'll show you this issue that's just fucking amazing coming from them. Marvel had a couple other things that came out, which still need to get back to some of those books and catch up. But Agents of Nowhere, or not Agents of Nowhere, Guardians of Nowhere came out. And at my shop, it was a little bit... They had, like, second printings now of a bunch of books. So, like, Old Man Logan had, like, a bunch of them. Or Civil War had a bunch of them. That when I saw them on the new shelf, I'm like, shit, I have a lot of books that just came out. And then I realized they were just reprints. So, almost doubled down on some of my books.
There were a lot of annuals this week, too. Like, there's Grayson Annual number 1, which has Dick Grayson and Superman teamed up, which I haven't read yet, but it's fun. I'm trying to think what else. There's a Batman annual that came out. DC just dumped annuals this week.
Yeah, good time of the year for annuals.
You need to start paying attention when annuals really come out, because I think that they throw them out there just randomly too. Like, there may have already been a Batman annual this year, and I know at least Deadpool did buy annual because he knew that they were doing two of them. But
right,
so I guess that was all that I had. So
Matt, sweet. Anything else? No? That was a silly question. I'm sorry.
Yeah. New, watched a bunch of new TV shows, but we'll talk about those another day.
Right on.
All right, well, until next time, keep reading your comics, and we'll be back to discuss them then.
Yay.
Opa.